You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to the fifth and final day of this year's Punchestown Festival. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined by William Hill Radio's Irish racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Yeah, good to be here, Mark. Yeah, after a long week, we're still surviving. I think the throat's probably a little bit worse away. This one might be a bit gravelly. but a bit wet and windy as well out there this morning.
Yeah.
And that's just Wiz's bedroom.
Dear.
So no, it is quite inclement today. The weather's turned, and quite cold, damp, almost like a midwinter feel to it today, rather than early part of spring.
Yeah. How's the ground, and is it still riding quite testing?
No, it actually dried out quite significantly yesterday, I thought. It might just shift back to maybe where we were early on in the week, but at least it's going to be fresh ground again, and the rain kind of freshen up the ground rather than the sort of tacky, gluey conditions we had early on in the week for a couple of the days. So it shouldn't be too bad. But yeah, for those that want a little bit of soft ground, they're very much getting back into the ball game, because it's been raining here for good part of 2-3 hours this morning. Only light drills, not like massive, huge downpours. But yeah, if it carries on like this, which it is forecast to do, then we should be keeping an eye out for that.
Okay, bear that in mind then. It's quite a good car today, and it's probably one of the more competitive days of the festival.
I'd say so, Mark, other than the Annie Power race. I'm really looking forward to a lot of these. Unfortunately, I won't be able to see many of them because I'll be on the way home on the boat. I've just got to rely on the signal on the boat and the Wi-Fi working to get the commentaries across from William Hill Radio with its sister service of the Irish today. But it should be really good. I'm looking forward to those handicaps. They're viciously difficult. Big maximum fields, a lot of horses laid out for the race, a lot of horses that have also probably even had runs recently early on in the week, and indeed at the Ferry House Festival. So plenty to get stuck into today.
Yeah, let's get stuck into it then. The first race is the 2:35. We start here with a cross-country chase over 3 miles on the Banks course, and Josie's Orders is the 5-2 favourite, 4-1 for Wish You Didn't. Sizing Australia is 6-1, 7-1 for Are You Right Chief. Federici's Nines and 10-1 are bigger prices for the others. The two Ender Bulger runners at the top of the market, then, Andy. Do you see him having the winner here?
Yeah, no great surprise, is it? And once again, the King of the Banks has got the front two in the market, and both of them ran here early on in the week as well, so we've already had a chance to have a look at their credentials. Wish You Didn't, of course, won the first race over the Banks early on in the week, given a superb ride yet again by Nina Carberry. And this horse always looked in control of that race on Tuesday, travelling well, jumping well, taking it up at quite an early stage, and then quickening quite nicely from the back of the second last down to the last, ping the final obstacle and flew home on the running to win by 10 lengths, and could have been more. Obviously ridden by Robbie Barron now, who's also been riding this horse regularly in the point-to-point field, so that association's reunited. But you also could arguably read a little bit into the fact that Nina Carberry rode Wish You Didn't the other day. Ron Josie's Orders today for Edna Bulger. This horse is still in contention at the second last one, getting brought down by Ballyboker Bridge, of course, in the Latouche, the big race over the Banks on Thursday. Certainly looked as though it would have been involved in the finish. And with that in mind, obviously, punters are looking towards Josie's Orders with Nina Carberry on board. But of the two, I certainly suggest that you shouldn't disclude the other one, just because Nina's a jump ship, if you like. We're not really sure about the jockey arrangements there. Around about 4-1, 9-2 this morning, Wish You Didn't, with a clear round, surely it's got to be thereabouts. It's dropping back to, obviously, the right trip, 3 miles, where Josie's Orders maybe would require a little bit further to be at his best. So let's go with the horse that won early on in the week, Wish You Didn't, for Edna Bulger.
Wish you didn't for Andy then in the opener. The second race is the 3:10. This is a handicap chase over 3¾ miles. And Heathfield is the 6-1 market leader this morning. Nibbled into 17-2 for Sizing Call. And Bracing Change going the other way, 7s out to 9s. There's money for Forever Gold, who's 12-1 into 9-1 this morning. Urano is 10s, 12-1 for Thunder and Rose, and 14s or bigger for the others. But I will just mention Rogue Angel at a big price as well, 20s into 16s this morning. So quite an active betting market, Andy, in what is a wide open race.
Yeah, this is one of the races I'm really looking forward to today. Lots of interest in here. And we start with Heathfield, the favourite, who now runs in the colours of JP McManus, and was really impressive last time we saw it back in mid-March when beating one of the gambles of the day, Forever Gold. I thought quite comfortably in the end, and that was the first time that it stepped up to a distance that it's always threatened to be quite proficient at. In its early days when running over 2-2.5 miles, it always had the habit of just getting a little bit out of pace before running on eye-catchingly at the death. And being it's one of the most unexposed runners over the trip, this will definitely take some getting today. There's every chance that Heathfield will improve and justify his position in the market. But I quite like the chances here of an English rider in the shape of Warren Greatrix's Top Dancer, who looks as though he's been given a very eye-catching profile and preparation for this race. Just the one run this season as well. And that came at Newbury back in mid-March when carrying top weight, was noted in some very, very good late work over what turned out to be an inadequate trip. Of course, this horse is a very, very strong stayer, having won over 2-3 mile 4 at Cheltenham a couple of years ago and following up at Newbury as well over a similar distance. So definitely needs a trip. I know Warren really fancies this horse this week. I spoke to him earlier in the week about his, the way his horses have run, and he's been very pleased with them. Baby Mix, of course, ran well the other day. Hannah's Princess was a little bit unlucky when she almost got brought down but ran on to be fifth in the mare's race. So his team are in good nick, as they have been for quite a while. But he does really like this horse's chance. He laid it out for the race. He's kept it fresh. And, 3 mile 6 is going to be right at this horse's street on decent ground. So passing a really strong message for Top Dancer. 16-1 with William Hill this morning. I suggest you definitely have a few quid each way on the English Raider.
Nice each-way price then there in the second race. The third race is the 3:50. This is the first Grade 1 of the afternoon. It's the Mare's Champion Hurdle. It's over 2¼ miles, and Annie Power is the 1-5 favourite this morning. KTT is 6-1, 12s for Anna Liffey, 25-1 for Rock on the Moor, and 40s or bigger for the others. It's hard to see past Annie Power if she gets around, isn't it, Andy?
It is really, yeah. It's very similar to how we've had the major races set up this week. All the Grade 1s have gone to Willie Mullins, and there's no reason to suggest why any power is not going to complete the full set for the champion train. And also as well, on top of that, it might well be that this horse provides him with an immaculate 14 for the week. Of course, his record here is 13, so barring miracles, you'd expect at least one of his horses to claim that at that lofty total. And given that she was unlucky at Cheltenham, many punters will expect her just to pop round here and follow up the victory in this race last year. But there is going to be a little bit of interest to see which horse will chase her home here. I'm a massive fan of KTT, always have been, and I think she's on the improve big time. I think this horse is going to win a nice pot sooner rather than later. She was really impressive the other day in the flat at Limerick when making mincemeat of her rivals. That should have put a nice edge on her in her bid to continue her good work over hurdles. Of course, she won that big Leopardstown race the last time we saw that handicap very, very easily as well. The way she quickened and went through that race suggests she's right on top of her game. She looks the logical choice to chase home the favourite, with Anna Leafay being the other major contender for the silver medal position, having finished third at the Dig Out the other day at Fairy House. I think dropping back in distance and racing on good ground, of course, coming from a stable in great form, she's got to be respected, but it's got to be KTT. I don't think she's going to be totally and utterly embarrassed and outclassed by any power, because she's definitely a decent mare in her own right. So let's go with Kevin Prendergast-Charles to chase home the favourite in the big race.
The 4:25 is the fourth race on the card. This one is another Grade 1. This one is the 4-year-old hurdle. It's over 2 miles, and Quilando heads the market at 100-30. 7-2 for Petit Parisienne, 9-2 for Business Civola. Fiscal Focus is 7s, 9-1 for Stars Over the Sea, and 10-1 are bigger prices for the others. Who do you like in there, Andy?
Yeah, lots of different form lines represented here. Quite a difficult puzzle, therefore, to get our head around. Certainly think Quinn Lando is going to have his supporters, having won the Fred Winter at the Cheltenham Festival. And indeed, that race has worked out incredibly well. It might well have just been a handicap, but we've already had three subsequent winners out of the race. Business of All, of course, who finished 10th, reopposes, having won a Grade 2 contest at the Ferry House Festival. So it's been given the absolute maximum endorsement by several of the horses down the field, and it is definitely a worthy favourite this morning without question. Petit Parisien represents that Grade 1 mare's form at Ferry House when finishing second is a bit of a puzzle, and we've already seen the third Lyrical Theatre and Urana as well, who was fourth in that race, finish second and third respectively behind Whiteout here at this meeting, so that form looks solid. But I'm going to stick with that Ferry House form, which was upheld by Whiteout, who finished sixth in that Grade 3 contest. And, of course, went in the way of Business Savola, another refugee from the Fred Winter, but has subsequently gone on to improve quite significantly. I just think this horse has just blossomed at the right time, maybe early in the season. It hadn't quite come to himself, but certainly looked in good nick the other day, to my eyes. And back in second was Prussian Eagle, who Tom Sigalis highlighted in the Racing Post today. I certainly see why he's gone with Charles O'Brien's charge, because he was doing all his best work at the finish on that particular occasion, and the stronger the pace, the better the Prussian Eagle will be, and I think he'll be picking up the pieces later on. I think if you just wanted a solid no-nonsense each way bet, then Prussian Eagle is almost certain to be in the frame given his overall profile, but it might well be that Business Savola once again comes out on top. So I suggest we back the two against the field, Business Savola at 9-2 and Prussian Eagle around about the 10-1 mark.
Couple against Phil Friendly there then in the 4:25. The 5 o'clock is the fifth race on the card. This is a Grade B handicap chase over 3 miles and 1 furlong. And Gallant Oscar is 9-2 at the top of the betting. 11-2 for Grand Gesture. 9-1 for Rule the World. First Lieutenant is 12s with Toon River. And The Job is Right. 14-1 for Bally Casey. And 16s or bigger for the others. Another open handicap to look forward to, Andy.
Yeah, definitely. And all eyes again are going to be on another Tony Martin trained individual in the shape of Gallant Oscar, who is a worthy favourite off the back of that run at Cheltenham, of course, behind the Druid's nephew, and finished fourth, a good one as well at that, in the Diestas as well. So he's racking up a good series of good runs in top handicaps, and if he won this, I don't think anyone would deny him victory, because he has certainly deserved it. But looking further down the list, I do think there's a one that's overpriced here and perhaps could give us a good run at double-figure quotes, and that's Catnap from the John Cullen stable. Interesting that the hood and tongue tie go on this horse for the first time, and I certainly think those different contraptions might just lead this horse to run its best ever race. He's been a very consistent horse in his last two or three starts, as you can see by his form figures. He finished second early on in the season, of course, behind Irish National winner Thunder and Roses when he didn't quite get home on the heavy ground. Similar comments apply to his performance last time at Navan when he cruised to the front, going very easily only to fade up the hill on the running. And I think this drier, better ground will certainly suit Catnap. He's a strong traveller. He's a beautiful-looking horse, a gorgeous mover as well in his races. I actually think this horse has been campaigned over the wrong trip, if I'm being brutally honest. I think he's a 2.5, 2 mile 6 horse. If he was mine, that would be the distance he'd be running over. But let's just hope that he does see it out today. And I certainly think he's good enough to finish in the frame at a big price. So Catnap, round about the 20-1 mark this morning. I'm pretty sure will give us a good running throw money in the 5 o'clock.
Catnap Friendly in the 5 o'clock then. The 5:35 is the sixth race on the card. This one is a Grade B handicap hurdle. It's over 2.5 miles, and Arbor de V is the 11-2 market leader. It's 6-1 for Pleasant Company, who is a reserve, so just keep an eye on, see if that one gets in. Maidor is 8s from 11s. Sort It Out is 17-2 from 10s. It's 10-1 for the St. James, who's going the other way, from 7-1. 12-1 for Clondor Warrior, and 14-1 are bigger prices for the others. So the two that have attracted money this morning, Andy, Maidor and Sort It Out. Can you see either those two get involved?
Yeah, I mean, this is an absolute complete not a humdinger. There's so many good handicap hurdlers in this race that have all got quality form, big speed figures. They're all basically flash. I don't think there's anything that's won anything of note or run well of note that is not missing here. The only one that might be missing is Pleasant Company, also tipped early on in the week, but he might get balloted out here and not make the gig. If he does, he's definitely going to be a player, because he travelled at the wrath of God in that race at Punjistan 2 days ago, only not to stay in the end, so dropping back in trip would certainly suit him. So I've definitely got to mention him if he gets in the race. But as it stands, we've got a Willie Mullins trained individual at the head of the market anyway, in the shape of Arbor de Brie, who went to Cheltenham as a bit of an outsider, but certainly justified his position in that race by going really well for a majority of that Albert Bartlett, only just to not quite get home in the dying embers. I think they dropped back in triple suit. And, of course, we're really wanting to cleaning up in all races this week. You'd be an absolute madman to discount him from calculations. The same applies to Colondor Warrior, who had his pocket picked the other day in a very competitive hurdle at Ferry House. He's already also threatened to win a race or two in recent times. And obviously Sorted Out represents the county hurdle form, which has worked out really well this season. And I think he'll be suited to return back up in trip. And, of course, he's won already this season at Punchestown. But the one I'm going to go with here, after all that pontification, is Jimmy Two Times. I do think this horse is massively overpriced here this morning. When I looked on Oddschecker and saw him languishing at 16-1, I almost thought he was a non-runner. Because his form of that Ferry House race has worked out really, really well. It was one of the best times at Ferry House over the Easter period. He beat Pleasant Company, who was back in third. So I don't really see why he should be the price he is. He's certainly going the right way. I think they've learned how to ride him. They were a little bit perhaps too aggressive with him early on in his career. But now he's settling into his races. He's beginning, given a chance to get home, and I think that's been the key to him. So 16-1 for Jimmy Two Times. If the rain falls, it won't hurt his chances. The trip's fine. The track's fine. Everything's in his favour to run another huge race. And I think he's one of the best bets on the card.
Jimmy Two Times, one of the best bets on the card then, Friendly, in that race. The final race under rules, if you like, is the 6-10. This is a 2-mile bumper. And Nambour is the 6-5 favourite. 9-2 for Whispering Storm. MMD Sizer is 7-1. 10-1 for Every Day, Every Hour. And 12-1 are bigger prices for the others. A little bit of point to point form on offer in there, Andy, but not really much to go on. So how would you play the 6-10?
Yeah, it's always difficult, isn't it, to sort of weigh up these races, and you just go on the vibes and what the trainers have said and look at the markets. And the market is telling you that Nambour, of course, is very, very strongly fancied this morning to give William Onnes yet another winner. He won a point-to-point in ridiculously easy fashion. And he's a fine big chasing sort as well, and stables are expecting a very big run from him. He's currently trading at 5-4 this morning. There is a bit of a word going around as well for Whispering Storm from the Adrian Maguire stable, of course, runs in the colours of Fletcher's Flyer, who took a similar race to this last year. So obviously those are closely associated with that stable, expecting a good run. And one maybe at a very, very big price as well, just for the kind of punters that look for something in much bigger odds, and that would be Arabic Scientist. Interesting, Mickey Halford, of all trainers, has got a runner in a bumper here, and of course, if you go back many years to Golden Cross, who won at this meeting, it's significant for me that the flat trainers decided to run a horse here at Punchestown in a national flat race, which is certainly against what he would normally do. But it has to be Nambour, doesn't it, really? He's already got the experience of winning at a point-to-point. He looks a good horse that day, and the vibes are that he's going to follow in the hoofprints of many of his stable companions this week.
Nambour in the bumper then for Andy, and the 6:40 is the last race on the card. It's a charity race, though. It's over 1 mile and 7 furlongs. We haven't got any betting at the moment. Maybe we'll price it up later on. But have you heard any whispers, Andy? Just a quick line on that.
Yeah, the big whisper going around is for From Frost from the Gordon Elliott stable, of course, a horse who's probably better known with his exploits on the flat in England with Andrew Balding. He's had a spin over hurdles recently, and he's got some good flat form as well. But Gordon Elliott very much does like to win these races. It's not term races that he takes very lightly. Of course, he won the charity race at the Cheltenham Festival as well. So, and with Gerald O'Neill on board, he's one of the best pilots going. Of course, he won the charity race at the festival. So that is definitely the talk of the town. From Frost in the last. Not sure whether William Hill are going to be betting on it, but if there is, then perhaps he could be worth a few quid.
OK, let's have a quick summary then, Andy, if you'll spin us through your thoughts for the fifth and final day of the Punchestown Festival.
Yeah, fantastic days racing to culminate to what has been a tremendous week already for William Mullins. But it could well be Edna Bolger who signs off in the first race in the best possible fashion with the shape of Wish You Didn't. In the 3-10, I'm going to go with Warren Greats, which is Raid at Top Dancer, who has definitely been freshened up and targeted for this particular race all season. Annie Power should take the mare's race, but hopefully KTT will chase her home. In the big Grade 1 race for four-year-olds, I'm very keen on that Business Savola Prussian Eagle form line at the Ferry House Festival, so I'm going to stick with those two against the field. Another big price one for me in the 5 o'clock in the shape of Catnap. Probably my best bet on the card at the prices is Jimmy Two Times. I still can't believe that horse is a 16-1 poke, and hopefully he'll justify my confidence there.
In the 6-10, it's that man again, Mullins with Mambo. And if you are thinking about having a punt in the charity race, then look no further than Gordon Ellis from Frost.
Superb. Thank you very much, Andy. Good luck and enjoy what you see of Punches Down today.
Yeah, won't say a lot of it, but I'll be tuning into William Hill anyway.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.